The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. In the evening of that same day, the first day of the week, the doors were closed in the room where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them. He said to them, "Peace be with you," and showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were filled with joy when they saw the Lord, and he said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so am I sending you." And after saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. For those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. For those whose sins you retain, they are retained." Thomas, called the twin, who was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. When the disciples said, "We have seen the Lord," he answered, "Unless I see the holes that the nails made in his hands, and can put my finger into the holes they made, and unless I can put my hand into his side, I refuse to believe." 8 days later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. The doors were closed, but Jesus came in and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he spoke to Thomas, "Put your finger here. Look, here are my hands. Give me your hand. Put it into my side. Doubt no longer, but believe." Thomas replied, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "You believe because you can see me. Happy are those who have not seen and yet believe." There were many other signs that Jesus worked and the disciples saw, but they're not recorded in this book. These are recorded so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing this, you may have life through his name. The Gospel of the Lord. You can nearly always say at the start of Mass that we all gather with different things on our minds when we come in, with different emotions, different people, different intentions, different situations, different prayers, just a whole welter of emotions when we come together. That's often true, of course, of most gatherings of human beings when we come together, whether it's as families or friends or just different occasions. Many things are crowding in upon us and the emotions are all there. And in a way, the readings today all pick that up. I think it's that strange opening to that first reading I had from the Acts of the Apostles when it says, with common consent, all the believers were together, but no one dared to join them. Was that fear? Why were they afraid? But also, it goes on to speak of praise, signs and wonders, the hope in people that even the shadow of Peter might fall across them so that they would be cured. And of course, there's also torment and crowds, and yet the church went on growing. So all those emotions, different things all there, picked up in the psalm, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Goodness, joy, thanksgiving are alleluias, sort of delight. We have lots of alleluias because we've given them up all of Lent, and we can sing them now because the Lord is risen. And then John, in the second reading, exiled to Patmos. Patmos is what they call a brown island. It's brown because it's very hot, it's very dusty, it's very dry. And they used to exile people there because they'd made them work during the day in the heat and burden of the day. And that was your punishment, was to be out in the blazing sun. Is there any wonder John had some funny visions? But anyway, when he's there, he gets caught up in the Spirit. But he speaks also of persecution, of sufferings, because of what he's done for preaching the name of Jesus. But nevertheless, there's elation with him as he gets that caught up with the Lord. And of course, hears those immortal words that those of you that know me well now know, the "do not be afraid," or some similar words that come 365 times in the scriptures, as if the Lord said every day you need to hear me saying to you, "Don't be afraid." And if you miss a day, he'll say it twice tomorrow. We need to hear that, "Don't be afraid." Because, of course, as we get to the gospel, fear is what holds the disciples. They've not left Jerusalem. They're in fear. It says they were there and the doors were locked and everything was closed for fear. They didn't know what to do. Their leader had been cruelly and killed in a horrific way. Could they be the next? There's great fear all around. They didn't know what to do, which way to turn. Now, many occasions in our lives, we can feel sometimes like that. We get a body blow to us, and it leaves us reeling, wondering, our minds wrestling with so many questions. Or life that can pull the rug from under our feet, and there we're lying on the floor as we're hurt and angry and frightened and wounded and wondering what's next. And then we can be a bit like Thomas, unless our lives actually in a way full of unbelief, not doubt. Unbelief is what, if you read the newsletter today, it's quite interesting. Unbelief. And unless I can do what I want, it's not going to happen. And as you've heard me say before, to every difficult question, there's always an easy answer, and it's usually the wrong one. But to every difficult question, there is an answer, and it's Jesus. And that's what happened. Jesus came and stood among them. And his first words were not a rebuke, not a telling off for their desertion, not a rebuking of Peter because he denied him. Judas, of course, we know had already gone, but there was none of all that. "Peace be with you." And those fears and everything else changed into joy. Then they were glad when they saw the Lord. And he's coming saying, "Peace, calm, don't worry, all is well." And he breathes on them, remembering that opening of Genesis. The Spirit moved on the waters, breathed into man the breath of life. That's why the first reading at the Easter Vigil is the creation, because this is a new day, a new beginning, a new creation. It's the first day of the week. It's everything new. And then when he comes 8 days later, the invitation to Thomas, he knows what's going through him. "Thomas, come, touch, feel, see." It's a total change. They didn't know where they were to go, what was happening. And in a way, Thomas had said that in gospel that you hear nearly every funeral that I'm at with you. At the ending of the gospel, it says, Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Or on this occasion, it says, "Thomas, come here, feel, touch. This is the way to go." So when we reflect back on the scriptures today, we need to hold them there for the moments in our lives when we can see nothing beyond the next few moments. When life can sometimes seem so black, we don't know where we're going. We can't see the light. Even though we might intellectually know it's there at the end of the tunnel, we can't always see it. It may be around the corner and away. When it all seems like that, or sometimes when our way can seem to be ruin and there's no gateway to anywhere, then we need to bring the Lord who comes to us. Because when we leave God out of the equation, that's the way it goes. And I read this week, I thought it was very nice actually. It really doesn't much matter where you go from here, we're in that darkened state, because every road leads to a dead end if you leave God out of the equation. So all roads go to a dead end if you leave God out of the equation. That's what they felt that first Easter night. But you bring God into the equation, Jesus came and stood among them, and it's all changed. It's interesting, John uses the word believe in that short gospel I read to you 6 times, and he explains why. He said, because I've told you all this so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing this, you may have life through his name. It's saying, bring God into those difficult questions. Bring God into those difficult situations. Add him into the mix, as it were. And then it will all be changed, because the crucifixions become resurrections. The defeats become victories. The death becomes life. And every dead end becomes a door. Always remember that bit in the Apocalypse? Behold, I stand at the door knocking. The famous light of the world picture. But the handle's on the inside for you to open it. Or the other very tangible sign, when Jesus came and stood among them, the sacraments, all the sacraments, again, you've heard me say it before, always worth repeating, flow from the Easter mystery. They knew the risen Lord. And you can touch and taste and hear and see and smell the risen Lord with you, because everything flows from the Easter mystery. So when we find ourselves in a corner, not knowing where to go, when life seems at the blackest, what John is saying is, hold on to your faith like they did, with all those emotions there. And it will not necessarily make life work out to your liking, but it's the only thing that will make life work.